Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
What if you could get the benefits of fasting without starving yourself? Prolon's five-day program leverages nutrition technology to develop actual food that mimics the effects of fasting. It's clinically proven to trigger a fasting state while you eat. That's why Prolon is not a diet. Prolon is the future of nutrition. Prolon is offering listeners 15% off site-wide, plus a $40 bonus gift when you subscribe to their five-day program. Just visit ProlonLife.com. That's ProlonLife.com.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Eleanor Galvin, our resident GP, is with us. If you have any medical issues, questions, queries, concerns, suspicions, one asking, my husband and I have had some changes in our health this year, meaning we're going to be traveling abroad a good deal with new medications. What do we need to think of when traveling with what is in essence a small pharmacy? Is there any chance you get stopped at the border and they say, right, yeah, that's it, you're going to jail?
There is. And there's also a chance that maybe you might arrive to a country and your drugs may not arrive if your luggage got delayed. I know that doesn't happen as much as often. So keep it in your hand luggage. If you have liquids in that, so if some of it is in liquid form, you can bring over 100 mils in liquid form, but you need to have the prescription or some sort of proof that it's yours. Leave all your small pharmacy in its own boxes, because that is the label saying your name in it. There's no point saying, you know, I take 3 red ones a day and 4 blue ones. They want to know what they are.
Or if you have them in that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, that is a plastic thing.
No, that's not going to work.
No.
No, right. So bring them in their proper boxes, put them in your hand luggage. If you're going away for 2 weeks, bring 2.5 weeks, just in case the whole country goes without electricity or something and you get stuck somewhere for a day or two. Don't put them in the hold, because the temperature can change down there. Apart from, sometimes people have things that need to be refrigerated. You can get small little ice packs and little pouches that you can bring. An awful lot of the kind of GLP-1 drugs that are out now that people are taking in a far great amount, like Ozempic, Mounjaro, all those sort of things, they need to be refrigerated, as do a lot of kind of higher tech drugs. So you can get these small little ice packs that you put in your luggage, that you put in your hand luggage with your little injection, and bring it abroad with you safely. So that is kind of things. If you are bringing things like painkillers or what we would call restricted drugs, you know, benzodiazepines, things like that, that you have been prescribed properly by someone, bring proof of it when you're going, especially stimulant medication for ADHD, things like that, because you may go to a country where you might need proof. Most places they probably won't ask you, but you're always
better off. But it's also a good point. Some of the things that you might be prescribed are also prohibited street drugs in a lot of countries. So it's worth being able to show.
And it's always to bring the few days extra, just because like the last you'd need is a delayed flight and no tablets.
Another one asks, I have keloid scars on my shoulders for years, often itchy. Have any new treatments been developed for keloids in recent years? Now, remind me what a keloid scar is. This is a big thick one, is it?
It's an overhealing, really, of a scar, and some people are more prone to it. If they have a cut or sometimes a surgical incision, they can overheal, and it kind of is this raised scar. You can go to a dermatologist and they inject them to try and shrink them down a bit. Or they can laser them in dermatologists. That would be where we would send people who have keloid scarring if it is something that bothers them.
Because you can't surgically excise it, because you just repeat the problem then, presumably.
Sometimes they would, but they would be then managing it differently afterwards. Plastic surgeons would do that sort of stuff. So it's dermatologist, plastic surgeon. But sometimes it's not all that successful getting rid of keloid scars. So sometimes it's, can you live with it? Is it somewhere that doesn't terribly bother you?
But the itchiness as well is probably worth the visit to the dermatitis, dermatologist to try to get rid of that. A text from somebody obviously who's not texting from America. Can I ask, would eating 10 to 12 eggs a week affect your iron levels, causing it to drop?
No.
Moving on. That would be,
I don't think anything would cause it to drop unless you're just not eating any red meat and now you're instead having 10 to 12 eggs. That would take quite a while of, God, it's a strange sort of a diet, but
if you space it out across a week. I mean, that's only one omelette. You might be having a breakfast omelette every day.
Is that all they're eating? Whereas there are, and you wouldn't expect
them to... You can't just be living on 12 eggs a week.
I don't know. Some people do strange things. But are they eating eggs? Is there only source of protein and that's less iron in it than red meat? But still wouldn't think it would cause your iron to drop. I think iron dropping can be one of those signs, well, in women of kind of heavy periods, but sometimes in everybody, iron dropping is a thing that might be a little red flag about your colon, and it's always worth looking into, literally.
How do you know if your iron has dropped? Does it mean a blood test? Is that the only way to check?
Some people have blood tests at intervals, and then you'd say, oh God, their iron has dropped. Is it because they're eating 10, 12 eggs? Probably not. It's probably something else that's going on.
A text saying, what should one do with scaly skin on the top of one's bald head and face? There doesn't seem to be any lesions. It's just quite noticeably rough and scaly in patches.
So that could be seborrheic keratosis, which is a kind of an age-related thing. And it could also be kind of a form of dandruff. The first thing I would do is get some Nizoral shampoo. And I met a really nice kind of hair specialist, nurse at a thing. And she said it's a liquid gold. So if you put it on your scalp on kind of scaly skin, on even the top of your face, there can be a kind of a fungal element to some of those sort of scaly things that grow in your head. So if you did that, put it on for 5 minutes, let it there, then wash it off, see does it improve. And otherwise, sometimes it can be sun damage or something and it might be worth having it looked. But the first thing I would do is go buy a bottle of Nizoral, which is, you know, about 3-4 euros, and sit it on your head and certainly do you no harm.
Got a text saying, I just got the results of my DEXA scan. I've regressed. I have osteoporosis of my lower back, even though I'm taking Prolia for years. Plus, I do chair yoga, weight bearing exercises, and I walk for 40 to 50 minutes daily. That must be deeply frustrating if you're doing all that and you're still regressing. I also eat yogurt and take milk in my tea. Any advice?
Vitamin D would be the one thing they haven't said inside there. So you probably need to have adequate vitamin D as well, although I'm sure somebody's keeping an eye on it. As you get older, your bone density will always be decreasing. So you'd hope that Prolia...
Oh, does it no matter what?
No matter what. Like, we're all getting older. We're all getting thinner bones. It's like people before used to get shorter. It was considered that's just part of life, you know.
What's that? That's spinal discs compressing, isn't it?
It's osteoporosis, essentially.
Oh, is it?
It is osteoporosis. It's the loss of bone density and volume in your spine. And then some of them, they will kind of compress a little bit.
You go down about 2 inches overall, don't you?
You could go down 6. Depends where you start from. And you ever see kind of people's little old grannies who are like tiny?
They didn't start that way.
So if you are not, staying up to where you should be, or you haven't reversed the trend, you might have already slowed it down. They might be able to tell you that. You might want to try one of the other medications. There's also osteoporosis specialists, which is kind of sits under rheumatology. And once that would become too complicated for GPs, or that we would come to the end of what we prescribe, like Prolia and vitamin D and calcium, then we would move them on to a rheumatologist with a special interest in bone.
Do people still try to stretch themselves to get into things like the guards? Do you remember there used to be a thing where you'd stay in bed for 2 days and then do the guards physical exam to try to sneak in?
Yes, I do remember that. That's actually, I think that day is gone. I think that's called discrimination now.
A text saying, Anton, this is an answer, backing you up and support and answering the person who was on earlier with the keloid scar. Text saying, Anton, I had laser treatments on keloid scarring that significantly improved it. Just for your listener that asked, it's not gone, but it is much better. So there is some hope there. One saying, my elbow is still painful after gardening 2 weeks ago. I have applied a gel and I'm wearing an elasticated sleeve. I'm 67 with osteopenia?
Yeah, so osteopenia is the kind of reversible precursor of osteoporosis, but it's not really relevant to the story of her elbow because it's nothing really to do with her osteoporosis. Her elbow is probably sore from kind of a repetitive injury like epicondylitis. It's kind of just your elbow. You can get bursitis. You put on that kind of ibuprofen or gel that's kind of related to Nurofen. You can get it over the counter in the pharmacy. You could take Nurofen if that's safe for you to take, or ibuprofen. A physio. go to a physio, get some exercises, rest it. That's the big thing. Don't go back gardening when it's sore. Ice it.
Rice.
Yes.
Pay attention when you talk.
And maybe off to a physiotherapist.
See if I can remember. What is it? Rest, ice, compression, elevation?
Very, very, very good. Top marks. And if it doesn't then settle, you might go and get it injected.
Eleanor, thank you as ever. That's our resident GP, Eleanor Galvin.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa, HS, for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa, HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentyx.